Messiah in the Tanakh, Session 4. Is there a messianic theme across the canon? By canon, we mean the law, or Torah, the prophets, which include the former prophets, the latter prophets, and the minor prophets, and then the writings. To begin with, we will pose 7 questions. How was the Tanakh canon decided? How was the Tanakh canon divided? How was the Tanakh canon messianic? How was each Tanakh book messianic? What was Messiah in the Torah? What was Messiah in the prophets? And what was Messiah in the writings? This session may or may not reply to these queries. We begin by making some observations. First, scholars note that the Torah was canon by the 5th century BCE. By canon we mean scriptures recognized as inspired or authoritative. The prophets then were canon by the 3rd century BCE, and the writings were canon by 90 CE, possibly settled at the Jamnia Conference of Jewish Scholars and Rabbis. We note that the major divisions, Torah, Prophets, and Writings, are arranged by historical period and by relative size. Some have noted that these 3 sections are tied together by thematic seams, which we shall see shortly. And, of course, all Israel agreed on the Tanakh books, for they believed that this was attested to them by the Holy Spirit's witness. Finally, we note that all the books have some messianic content, except Esther. The Hebrew Bible, which we call the Tanakh, consists then of the Law, that is, the 5 books of the Pentateuch, the prophets, including the former prophets, the latter prophets, and the 12 minor prophets. The writings, then, include poetry, beginning with the book of Psalms, down through the 5 rolls and the history books of Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles. From Law to Prophets, in Deuteronomy 34, we read that Moses had laid his hands on Joshua, and no prophet like Moses has arisen. The prophets then begin with this statement: the Lord spoke to Joshua, providing a seam between the law and the prophets. Then, from the prophets to the writings, we read at the end of Malachi, remember the law of Moses, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And at the start of the writings, in Psalm 1, we read, blessed is the man who delights in the Lord's law day and night, tying together those 2 divisions. Salehammer presents this chart of the canonical shaping of the Tanakh, pointing to messianic hope. The Torah ends with a note about Messiah, and the prophets begin with a meditation. The prophets end again with a note about Messiah, and the writings begin with a meditation. Let's look at some of the messianic texts in the Torah. Genesis 49:1, assemble yourselves that I may tell you of what will befall you in days to come. Jacob, of course, blessing his sons. And then in Numbers 24, I advise you what this people will do to your people in days to come. A prophecy of Balaam. And then in Deuteronomy 31, in the days to come, evil will befall you because you will do evil. Rudelnik notes that in these verses a narrative with an intervening poem followed by an epilogue on the theme of the last days. In this illustration, note that King Nebuchadnezzar holds a scepter in his hand which descends below his feet. we read in Genesis 49, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. The nations will obey him." Clearly messianic. And Numbers 24, "Israel's king shall be higher than Gog, and his kingdom shall be exalted." Scepter and kingdom being parallel. And then a third theme, Genesis 3:15, "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That is, a descendant of the woman would defeat the devil. Genesis 17, "I will give to your offspring after you all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession." And then Deuteronomy 18, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you." Now let's look at the messianic theme in the former prophets. Judges 17, verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes," referring to the period before King David. And in verse 30, "The people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves, and Jonathan and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land," referring to the period following King David. And in Amos 9:11, "I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen, and rebuilt it as in the days of old." 2 Samuel 7, "Your house and kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This note about a throne forever suggests that every Davidic king was a potential end times Messiah. Had the nation repented, this could have been so. Let's look at the messianic theme through the latter prophets. Isaiah chapter 9, "To us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, on the throne of David, and over his kingdom forevermore." And in chapter 42, "Behold my servant, my chosen, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." My servant being a messianic title. And then, "My servant, it is too little that you should bring back Israel. So I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And in chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim the year of favor and the day of vengeance of our God." Now what about the latter prophets? Jeremiah 23:5 reads, "I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king in the land." The branch, another messianic title. In chapter 30, verse 9, "They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king." How could that be possible? David had died. This may mean a king in David's dynasty, or possibly King David resurrected in the end time. And in chapter 31, verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with Israel and Judah," a reunited nation, under a new covenant to be instituted by the Messiah. Messiah in the minor prophets. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, "The children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king in the latter days." And in Micah chapter 5, "Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming is predicted from old, from ancient days." Zechariah 12:10, "I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one who weeps over a firstborn, firstborn not only in chronology, but in status. And in Malachi chapter 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Well, this happened. Daniel said it would. Jesus said it would soon happen. And it happened during the first and second Jewish revolts. And now over to the writings. Psalm 89, verse 27, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loyalty I will keep for him forever. Job 19, verses 25 and 26, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel writes, I saw in the night visions, with the clouds of heaven there came one as a son of man, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, so that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, reason for which Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. So, we finish with seven tentative conclusions. The Tanakh is comprised of the Law, Prophets, and Writings, in Hebrew, Torah, Navi'im, and Ketuvim, which were written in Hebrew and believed to be inspired by God, divided into three groups by time period and by comparative size. All of these books have a messianic hope. The prophets expanded on the Torah's messianism, also foreseeing a final Messiah, such that every king was a potential final Messiah, reason for which the New Testament begins, Jesus, the Son of David. Please visit our website at http://tanach.site.